Tonight's shir is in Parshas Metzora. Parsha begins, V'daber Hashem el Moshe leimor, zos tiyeh taras ha-metzora b'yom taraso. This is the laws of the Metzora and the day of his purification, etc. There's a famous Chovas HaLevavos. We know that one of the reasons Metzora, the person has leprosy, received leprosy, is a punishment for Lashon Hara. It's the main reason. There's a famous Chovas HaLevavos in Shaar Kniyah, Perek Zayin, where it tells us a fantastic idea, scary idea actually, and that is that when a person speaks Lashon Hara about his fellow Yid, what happens? His mitzvahs go to the person he spoke about, and the person he spoke about, his averas transferred to him. In other words, let's say Reuven spoke Lashon Hara about Shimon. So what happens? Reuven's mitzvahs, because he spoke Lashon Hara about Shimon, his mitzvahs get transferred over to Shimon. And Shimon, the person he spoke bad about, his averas go back to Reuven, and he acquires Shimon's averas. Fantastic thing. You can imagine a person comes to Olam HaEmes, and his mitzvahs and averas are presented in front of him, and he says, what's going on over here? I never did this avera, that avera. I never did these things, never came close to him. Whoa, it's not fair. I thought it was supposed to be Olam HaEmes. And they tell him, yes, you know where these averas are from? You didn't do them, it's true. But you spoke Lashon Hara about this person and that person, and their averas came to you. These are the averas, these other people. And when he asks, or the other person comes to Olam HaEmes and says, wow, it's wonderful, all these mitzvahs, I never did them. What are these mitzvahs? So no, these are mitzvahs that you acquired because somebody spoke Lashon Hara about you. So his mitzvahs went over to you. So therefore, this is a thing which would give a person incentive to guard his tongue. Right? Just think, you know, you want to say something about this bad, but why are you saying bad about this person? You don't like him, whatever, you want to degrade him. But think, and then the worst thing you could do is speak bad about him. Because by speaking bad about him, you're mezakeh him. All your mitzvahs are going to him. And his averas are going to you. Not gonna. You don't like the guy, so be quiet. Speak Lashon Hara about is the worst thing you can do. It's say in Pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech said, Yasichu bi yoshvei shar, neginos shoisei shechar. David HaMelech was upset that these drunkards, these people sitting in the streets are speaking bad about him. So they asked, you worry about those people speaking bad about you? Why don't you worry about the normal chasher people speaking about? So he said he was upset, based on his vort of the Chovas HaLevavos. They said David HaMelech was upset. He said, I'm upset that who's speaking bad about me? These nothing people. What mitzvah? Their mitzvahs are going to transfer to me. What kind of mitzvahs? They don't do mitzvahs anyway. So a halavai that the people should speak bad about me, these talmidei chachamim, whatever, these tzaddikim. So then I could get at least mitzvahs that are worth something. The Pesach Einayim says, al derech tzachus, tongue in cheek, says the Gemara at the end of Mishnah, at the end of Kedushin, says, tov shevarofim legehenim. Right, the best of doctors go to Gehinnom. There's many, many perushim. What does that mean? But the tongue in cheek, based on what we this Chovas HaLevavos, is the same idea. Then what is the best doctor? Doctor here mean not physical doctor, but refuah sanefesh that can cure your neshama. The best doctor that can cure your neshama of your averas is who? Somebody speaks Lashon Hara about you, right? Guy speaks Lashon Hara, but your averas get transferred to him. So that's wonderful. Right? So therefore, he's like a doctor. He's the greatest doctor. How does he cure your neshama? By speaking Lashon Hara about you, the veras go, takes away your veras for you. So, tov shevarofim legehenim. Right? But yet, this guy that's your great doctor, that's cleaning you out of your veras, but where is he going? He's going to Gehenim because he spoke bad of it. He spoke Lashon Hara. So, tov shevarofim legehenim. The chida, also based on what we said, touches up this first pasuk. Zos tiyeh toras mitzora. So somebody spoke Lashon Hara. He lost his Torah and mitzvahs, right? Went to the person we said, Reuven spoke about Shimon, his mitzvahs, he lost them, went to Shimon. When is he able to get them back? Zos tiyeh toras mitzora. When will Reuven be able to get back the Torah that he lost by speaking bad about Shimon? But yom taraso. when he does tshuva, goes through the purification process, then the Torah Samatzor, then he'll get back his Torah that he lost by speaking about the other person. I saw a great kasha, right, based again on this Chavos HaLevavos. Okay, so we said Reuven speaks bad about Shimon. Reuven's mitzvahs get transferred to Shimon. Shimon's averas go to Reuven. Okay, so question is, that being the case, when Reuven later wants to do tshuva, he wants to do tshuva. He spoke bad about Shimon. He feels bad. He wants to be chozer b'tshuva. So what does he have to do? He has to go to Shimon and ask him for mechila. So he goes to Shimon. He says, Shimon, please be moichel me. I spoke lashon hara about you. Whatever. So what's the proper thing for Shimon to do, of course? I mean, why not? So they ask, what do you mean, why not? I'll give you two wonderful reasons why Shimon would not want to be Moichel Reuven. Why? Because after Reuven spoke about Shimon Lashon Hara, we said, Shimon inherited Reuven's mitzvahs. Now if he's going to be Moichel, he says, fine, forget it, okay. He's giving up all the mitzvahs that he received from Reuven. He's giving it back to him. Why should he part with the mitzvahs? And on the Avera is the same thing, right? When Reuven spoke bad about Shimon, so Shimon's Averas, right, he got clean of his Averas. They went to Reuven. So now Reuven says, okay, forgive me, here. He gets his Averas back. So why would Shimon want to be Moichel Reuven? He has to give up the mitzvahs that he received from Reuven, and the Averas that he got rid of and Reuven inherited, now he has to receive them back again. So why in the world would Shimon want to be Moichel Reuven? Okay, so the Imar Pelashon, Rafael HaKohen Zatzal, he answers the part of the Averas at least. Okay, we said, why would Shimon want to be Moichel when he was great? He got rid of his Averas and he went to Reuven. So he asks, based on the Gemara, it says, Kol Hamavir al Midosav, whoever is Mavir, Midosav means, person's not Makpid, he overlooks, person says there's something bad to you, whatever, you know, you're not Makpid on him, you overlook, it's okay, you're Moichel, whatever. Whoever is Mavir al Midosav, it says, is Moichelin loy al Kolpshav, Mavirin mimenu Kolpshav, meaning all his sins get taken away. Memele, he says, who is one of the greatest Mavir al Midosav that can be? Somebody who, we just said, somebody spoke Lashon Hara about him, and then he comes and says, oh, please forgive me, whatever. And he says, okay, I'll forgive you. I am losing I'm getting back my Averas, I'm giving up. Fine, but I don't mind, I'm Moichel you. That's unbelievable, Mavir al Midosav. So what happens, says the Gemara? All his Averas get clean. So Mele, Shimon doesn't have to be worried about being Moichel Reuven. Why? That's what all these Averas that he lost is going to get back. He doesn't mind getting them back. Why? Because they're all going to be forgiven anyways, because Mavirim Mimenu Kolpshav. Fine. So that's the Gabe the Averas. But what about the mitzvahs? Right? Shimon inherited Reuven's mitzvahs. Now he has to give them up if he's Moichel. So on that, the Ben Yishchai says, we have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. It's a Shabbos Aveda, right? Somebody loses something, you find it, you return it to him. So he says, imagine you have two scenarios. One scenario, a person saved up his money, thousands of dollars, and marry off his daughter, let's say, and he put it all in a bag or whatever, and he was going to a certain place, and he lost it. He lost it, his life savings in a bag, and he lost it. And you find it, and you return it to him. Right? Big mitzvah? Unbelievable. Your mommy saved the guy's life, right? That was life saving and you return it. Scenario number two. Another guy went to the shuk, bought three tomatoes, put it in a little bag, left it on the bus, right? And you, it was in a scenario where you're chayav lahachris, and you return him his three tomatoes. Mitzvah? Mitzvah. Which is the greater mitzvah? Of course, the first scenario. Okay, mitzvah returned his tomatoes, but come on, this guy's life savings you returned to him, that's a huge mitzvah. So who's going to get more sechar in all of Mammoth? Avadai, the first scenario. You returned his life savings, can you imagine what sechar? Okay, guy returned his tomatoes. Okay, but can't compare. Melis says the Ben Yishchai, if returning the guy's life savings is a huge mitzvah, you're going to get tremendous sechar for that. Imagine returning a person's mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are worth more than anything in this world. So therefore, he says, when Reuven spoke bad about Shimon, and Reuven's mitzvahs got transferred to Shimon, and we ask, so when Reuven comes later and says, okay, please be moichel me, why would Shimon want to give it up? No problem, because by returning his mitzvahs, what are you doing? Hashavas Aveda. His lost mitzvahs that he lost by speaking Lashon Hara about you. When you were moichel him and you're giving him back, that's such a huge mitzvah, not a problem. Give it back. Why would you give part with the mitzvahs? You're parting with the mitzvahs because the mitzvah you're getting by being part of it, parting with it, by giving it back, by being returning a Shabbos Aveda of the person's mitzvah, is such an unbelievable schar. It's worth it. So it's like the Ben Yishcha. Pasuk says, L'kach l'mitaher, shtei tziporim chayos ta'aros, Veitz eres ushni tolaz veizov. So the part of the purification process is he has to take the person becoming purified has to take two birds, a cedar wood, eitz eres ushni tolaz is like colored crimson colored thread, and eizov is like a bush, a hyssop it's called. So the question is asked: the eres over here seems out of place. Because the person that, you know, is purifying. So they say that, why is it purifying? Because the guy was a haughty person. It's another reason why Tzoras comes for Gassus HaRuach. And so now, you know, he humbled himself. So he brings Shnitolas, which is a worm, less than a worm, you know. And Ezov, which grows on the ground, a very low bush. So, okay, because he, you know, purifying himself, he's not a haughty anymore, he's a lowly person. So he brings those lowly things. Said, but why an Eitz Eres? Eitz Eres is a very, very tall tree. So why bring an Eitz Eres? So the Meister Rashi says Eitz Eres because he was a gas ruach, like a tall, proud. That's very nice. But that he was, but not anymore. Now he's purified. Now he's low like a shnitolas and eizov. So why bring the Eitz Eres? So the Chiddush Yerim says that he brings the Eitz Eres is because we're worried about another psula, humility that's not kosher humility. What does that mean? So Rav Simcha Bunami Pashischa used to say that every yid has to have two pockets. Okay, one pocket he has to have the pasuk. Kibitzelem Elokim bara also. And in the second pocket, he has to have the pasuk, Vanochi Afar Ve'efer. Meaning that a person has to be sometimes realize, Selim Elokim. Selim Elokim. The other, sometimes though, he has to realize, I'm Afar Ve'efer, I'm a nobody. But the important thing is to know when. A person approaches you, you know, hey, come, why don't you start a chabura, why don't you learn something, why don't you learn shas, whatever. So a person can pick out the wrong pasuk and say, me, learn shas, who am I? Anochi afar ve'efer, I'm a nobody, I'm me. But what? A person steps on your toe, said, excuse me, you know, you know, toe you stepped on, you know who I am? B'tzemel Elokim, I'm a tzelem Elokim, and you stepped on my toe, a chutzpah. And the person has to know, no. Right, someone steps on your toe, then you pull out. Anochi afar ve'efer. Fine, who am I? I'm on ground. You step on the ground. You step on my toe. Same thing. Right. But if somebody approaches you, or you yourself want to take a project, learn shas, whatever. Then you pick out. Yes, I could do it. I'm tzemel elokim. To know which. Therefore, when we bring the eight eras, yes, we bring the. You have to be lowly, but you not always. When it comes to Fod Hashem Torah, then you have to be like an eight eras. So therefore, it's also important. It shouldn't be have another psula. The famous Maisa, speaking about another, of course, our Gdoli Yisrael are well known for their anivas. That's the famous Maisa with the Rav Zusha Miantipali, that he was very poor, and once he had to marry off his daughter, had no money. People were saying, no, you got to do something. How are you going to marry off your daughter? He was, Hashem Yazor. So word got out to his Rebbe, was a Magid Mezrich, that Zusha needs money and he's not doing anything about it. So he called him in and he says, Zusha, I know you have to marry off your daughter, I know you need money, here, take 500 rubles. So, okay, Rebbe gives him, takes it, thank you very much. And he makes his way back home. So all of a sudden he passes this certain area, And he hears screaming and yelling and this and that, whatever. So he approaches, he goes, what's going on? What's all the commotion? So they said, oh, Nebuch, you're not going to believe what happened. He says, what? Tell me. He says, there's a chasna about to take place. And it's a yesoma, this little girl, an orphan girl. And her mana, her mother, the Almana, you know, finally, you know, found a shidduch, and she promised a certain amount of money, and for the dowry, she's able to come up with it. And today's, you know, the day of the chasana, and lo and behold, she lost the money. She lost the money, and now the other side, the chasana, they don't want to go through with the win. No money, no chasana. And she's pulling her hair out. She's so upset. She's beside herself, obviously. So Rizu says, how much money did she lose? He said, 500 rubles. He says, no problem. Tell the woman, I found it. I found the money. He said, you found it? Yeah, I have it right here, 500 rubles. He said, oh, wonderful. Oh. They told her, calm down, found the money, everything's okay. He says, oh, wonderful. So she goes, oh, thank you so much. He goes, no problem, here you go. And here is 490 rubles. And mazal tov, she had binyan adayad. Excuse me, 495? You said you found my 500. That's correct. So why? What do you mean here's 490? She says, what do you mean? I have to take some percentage for my efforts over here, you know. You know, after all, I would have, not for me, you know, chasana, whatever. But I said, not coming to me 10 rubles? She says, excuse me, you did a mitzvah. Shabbos Aveda, we said before. This is Shabbos Aveda. Hashem pays you, don't you? You don't have to take money for Shabbos Aveda. I don't want to know. Why not? So back and forth, they're fighting this and that. He doesn't want to part with this 10 ruble. He says, let's go to the Rav. Fine. So they go to the Rav. So what's the story? They hear that. The Rav, of course, paskins in favor of the Almana and says, you have to give the whole 500. No such thing. Whoever heard of such thing, a percentage for doing the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda, you have to give it all back. Right? Says, okay, fine. So he has no choice, gives the other 10 rubles, and everybody's, you know, cursing him out. Says, get out of here, you borrow me, you know, you're rotten, you see what you see the Rav knew, and we, you know. Oh, so he leaves, Babosha's punny. So a little while later, the Magid Mezer happens to visit this town, and the Rav of the town met up with him, and he says, oh, don't you have a Talmud, you know, Zusha? He says, yeah. He says, oh, you know, I know you should, this Talmud of yours. He goes, what do you mean? He tells him the story. You know, his Almana lost 500 rubles, he gave 490, he wanted to keep 10 rubles. He tells him the story. And he says, hey, can you imagine such a chutzpah? So Magid says, oh, okay, fine, I hear. So he called in Rav Zusha after that, and he says, okay, Rav Zusha, first of all, I know that the 500 rubles that you gave this woman was the 500 rubles gave you to marry off your daughter. It's obvious. Okay, fine. But what's this business about 490, you kept the 10, the percentage for doing the mitzvah? That's not like you. He says, well, what? He says, I'll tell you, Rav, exactly what happened. You know, I heard this woman at 500 says, okay, I'm gonna give my dowry for my daughter, I'm gonna give it to this woman. I decide I'm gonna do it, and I said, fine, I found the money. So I was reaching into my pocket, they counted 500 rubles, and then all of a sudden, the Yetzer Hara comes to me and says, ah, Rav Zusha, is there a bigger tzaddik than you? He says, you're greater than Avraham Avinu. Can you imagine something? That the money for your own daughter's wedding, you're parting with, oh, what a tzaddik you are. Oh, you're, and all of a sudden, I felt this, you know, gaiva, you know, and I said, no, Yetzer Hara, you're not gonna win. You're not gonna win. You'll see that not only am I gonna get a smug, they're gonna kick me out of here and they're gonna boot me out of here and curse me at the same time. You'll see, Yetzer Hara. So I decided to come up with this, charging money, knowing that's a way of, you know, to combat the Yetzer Hara. I shouldn't have this gaiva in doing the mitzvah, and that I should do the mitzvah without the gaiva. See, Maisa, Rav Gershon Liebman, he was a mashkiach of Navardak. And he used to have a, we'll call it a minhag, that whenever he felt this inyan of, like we said, gaiva, you know, gaiva doing a mitzvah, whatever, you know, he felt this in his heart, so he used to have a hanhaga that he used to go to the mikveh in the Beis HaKfaras in the middle of the night. In the mikveh where they do taras, you know, on the dead bodies, he would toivel in the mikveh, very creepy, you know, in order to remember Yom Misa. You know, say, don't be such a balgaive, you know, remember Yolanata Olech, you know. That was his minute. So he recalls that one time, one day he was learning really well, and the whole day, he felt, the guy was creeping in. You know, I had such a great day of learning, you know. So he says, tonight's mikveh night. I have to go to the... So, Chatzos HaLaila, he leaves his house, makes his way to the basic forest, go to the mikveh. And it's stormy and windy and lightning and thunder and, you know, it's eerie, you know. And he's making his way to the mikveh, wherever, the dark. And finally he gets to the mikveh. Because of the lightning, it took the electricity out or whatever, so it was like pitch black in there. But he's been there a number of times. He knew exactly, you know, where the bore is, to go into the mikveh, whatever. So, gets undressed, whatever, and gets ready to go into the mikveh. And suddenly he hears these eerie noises, you know, and he's like, because he knows they bring down, you know, Sifrei Kabbalah, that the neshamas that are, you know, buried in this basic forest, that every night they toivel in this mikveh, you know, the neshamas. So, he hears these, I got a little scared, he hears these noises, whatever. But okay, you know, he step by step goes closer to the mikveh, you know, again it was in the dark, whatever. And all of a sudden, he's about to go into the water, and there's a flash of lightning, so lights up the room, and he sees coming out of the mikveh a hand. He gets such a fright, he screams, he grabs his clothes, he runs out of the mikveh. That was it. Ah. So he recalled this maisa to his talmidim, and he said, you know, I learned a big lesson over here. Why was I so scared? He said, what could that be? It must be some, neshamas or this or whatever. It didn't occur to me that maybe there's somebody else that's working on himself like me. You know, okay, I want to work on myself. You know, well, a guy with it never dawned on me that maybe that's another guy in the mikveh. This is like I was going to go and make some other guys in the mikveh also working on himself. So I want to do the same thing. No, I thought who would do this? Like only I could do such a thing. You know, I thought, wow, what gaiva? I learned my lesson. He says. It says. Again, part of the purification process, the Mitzorah has to yigalach et kol saro, has to cut off all his hair. And interesting, the Torah then says, Rosho, his hair from his head, his zakan, his beard, and his gabosainav, his eyebrows, whatever. It said kol saro. Why dafka these three things? So there's a beautiful kliyakar. And he says that these three places are connected, the three main reasons why tzaras comes on a person. Rosho, so we said before, because of gasus haruach, right? A person is proud, he thinks that, he wants to be the head of everything. So therefore, he cuts the hair of his head, rosho. Another reason we said is because of lashon hara, that's the zakan. Zakan is the hair around your mouth, right? So connected lashon hara, he cuts the hair around his mouth. And gabosenav comes another reason which we hadn't mentioned tonight. Tzaras comes for tzaras ayin, right? Because a person stinginess. So ayin, the gabosenav is around his eyes, is against tzaras ayin. So it's the kliyakar. The pasuk says, "Vemid hakohen hamtaher hamitaher es aish hamitaher veosam lifnei Hashem." So the Kohen that's purifying the Mitzorah, V'mid, he places the Kohen that's Mitaher, the ones that's purifying, the purifying Kohen, the ones doing the purification, he puts the Isha Mitaher that's being purified, Lifnei Hashem. So Ben Ish Chai asks, why do you have to say the Kohen that is doing the purification? Of course he's doing the purification. We know that. And in fact, everywhere else where it says a Kohen, it doesn't say Mehamet Taher. Only here. What's the significance? So he answered based on the Maisa. There was once a Talmud Chacham. He was walking one evening in the street, and he hears, coming from this tavern or whatever, people laughing and like drunk and this and that. And he sticks his head and he sees, unfortunately, Yidden, you know, gambling, you know, playing cards and this and drinking and that. And he said, this is what Yidden do. He said he couldn't take it. He couldn't hold himself back. He bursts in and he starts giving these people a Musar Shmoo. He says, how could you do this? What are you wasting your time and this and your money? And he's giving them a whole Musar Shmoo. And believe it or not, to say Dvarim Ayotzi Min Alev, Nichnasim Atoch Alev, it went into their hearts. And they heard, and they said, you know, you're right, we shouldn't be doing this. And they stopped. And not only that, all the money that they made in the gambling, they gave to this Talmud Chacham, as a part of their tshuva. He says, here, they gave this money. Fine. So, a while later, a few weeks, months, whatever it might be, this Talmud Chacham was having a rough time. He had no money. He's thinking, what could I do? I need money to, make ends meet. He's thinking of ideas. He goes, I have a great idea. Back to the tavern. I'm sure they're at it again, So he goes back to the tavern. Sure enough, he's approaching, getting close. He goes, music to his ears. They're again drunk and laughing and this and that. And he goes, this is great. So he comes in, he says, didn't I tell you before you're not supposed to be doing this? Give them the Mr. Shmuz or whatever, expecting them, to give them all their money they made. It's like last time. But it didn't work. It was the same people. But all of a sudden they said, excuse me, who are you to give us Musa? What, you think you're so great? And start screaming at him, and they kick him out of the tavern. He says, I don't understand. Right? A few weeks ago, the exact same people, same scenario, they did tshuva, they gave him their money, and all of a sudden now, he says, what? So he went to his Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, I don't understand. What? So Rebbe said, very simple, I'll tell you. It says, the Gemara says, that whoever, kol mi sheyesh lo yirat shamayim, dvarim nishmeim. Right? Whoever has yirat shamayim, then when he says, people listen to. So Meili says, the first time when you went in, why did you go in? L'shem shamayim, right? You didn't think they're going to give you the money. You didn't do it for any ulterior motive. You just did it. L'shem shamayim. So, memet, dvarim hayotzim min alev, it came from your heart. You really... And nichlasim atoch alev, and it really hit home, and that's why they did tshuva. But the second time, why did you go in? You went in to make money. You didn't care they're doing tshuva, not doing tshuva. You just wanted their money. So you go in there without the yiras shamayim, then your dvarim are not nishmim. You went in there to make some money, so lo l'shem shamayim. So they didn't listen to you, didn't give you your money. So meila says Bnei Shchai teaches the pasuk as well that the kohen, here he's being metahir this mitzora, so you could think, wonderful, if he has the wrong hashkafa, he could be wanting metahir this mitzora in order to receive his the karbanas, a chelik in the karbanas that he's going to bring, and the mincha belulah b'shemin, etc. Not so bad, have a nice meal. If he does that, he's not going to be successful. He has to make sure that he's the kohen is mitahir. He does it out of mamish tahara salev. He does it out because he really wants to help this person. And then if he does so, then it says emita kohen hamitahir ta'ish hamitahir v'osam lifnei Hashem. Then he's going to bring this guy lifnei Hashem. The guy, when would the guy really do tshuva if the kohen is doing it l'shem shemaim, not for korbanos, not only because he's a kohen hamitahir, because he wants to mitahir the guy. Then we can make sure that he's going to be lifnei Hashem. The end of the parsha, says they brings the inyan of the taharas the tzaras abayis. Right, that says v'tzivah ha'kohen v'chaltzu et avanim asher behen anega. So the kohen commands, and they have to take off the stones that are in the wall that the nega is on. So there's a mishnah in Negayim that says we see from here mikan amru oy l'rasha oy l'shcheinu, that not only is the rasha affected but also the shachin, because it says here in lashon plural, right, v'chaltzu et avanim. What do you mean they have to take out? He has to. The guy that has a tzaras in the house. What is they? So we learn from here, the Mishnah says that the neighbor has to help him. The neighbor who's the other side of the wall has to also help him take out the stone or whatever as well. So we see from here, Oyla Rasha Oyla Shcheinu. Right? So the simple pshat is, this guy on the other side, what did he do? Nothing. So why does he have to, because Oyla Rasha, you're a... Woe to the Rasha, woe to the Shachin. You're Shachin, you have to pay for it. You're the Rasha. You're the Shachin of the Rasha. What can you do? Like there's an old joke they say. When it's a guy was learning Blat Gemara, and he came to a Tosfos, and he didn't understand it. over and over again, over, and he couldn't understand it. He got so frustrated, he took the amud, he ripped it out of the Gemara, right, crumpled it up and threw it away. Someone looks and says, how could you do such a thing? Why could you do this? He goes, that is Tosfos, makes no sense. I couldn't, so I said, okay, Tosfos, but what about this Tosfos on the other side also? So he says, yeah, Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechino. Anyway, so the Einei Shmuel gives a different taich, beautiful taich, and what's this Oyla Rasha Shechino over here? Not like we said, this simple idea. Based on the concept, a famous concept in Yiddishkeit, and that is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't punish a person unless Hashem makes the cheshbon of everybody that is affected by this person being punished. Right, famous concept. In other words, Hashem wants to punish Reuven in Avera, meaning I did something wrong, and Hashem says, okay, I want to make this guy sick. But it's not just this guy. You know, what's going to happen if he's sick? That he's not going to go to work. So what about his poor boss? You know, he has to suffer. He's going to lose his employee for a couple of days. What about his wife? You know, he won't be able to help in the house with the kids. His wife is going to be affected. His kids are going to be affected. There's all kinds of other people are going to be affected by Reuven being punished. So, Akash Baruch Hu has to cheshbon it out always that, yeah, if Hashem punishes Reuven, everybody affected has to also be deserving of it, of the punishment, what they're going to receive. If not, Hashem won't punish him. It's someone's an interesting idea that's one idea why a son is a minhag for the son to fast on the yortzeit of his father. The day of when his father is nifter, the yortzeit is needing to fast on that. Why? Because really, the person himself, the son, it also deserves a little bit, it needs a kapara. Why? Because if his father died on that day, it was obviously a very sad thing for the son. Why does the son deserve it? Why does he deserve to be punished of having this tragedy of having his father die? Answer is, obviously he did. Obviously he deserves it. If he didn't deserve it, his father wouldn't die. So therefore, the day of his father's death is for him also a day of kapara, because obviously he was not in the madriga to be free of the tsar. So based on that, says the Einei Shmuel, that's the same thing over here. Oyla Rasha Oyla Shechino. Meaning, Reuven has his house, he's full Lashon Hara, whatever, he's the Rasha. Okay, but Lemaisa, to have to be punished, and have the tsaras, and have to take out those stones, and do all these things to his house, right? What about his neighbor? Right? His neighbor, what did he do? So Teretz is that he has to help him, etc. The fact that he has to help him means that he's also deserving of it. Because if not, if Shimon was totally clean, totally innocent, Hashem wouldn't have brought the punishment on Reuven, even if it's Megillah, it's coming to him. Because Shimon is affecting Shimon, what does Shimon do? So the fact that Shimon has to help Reuven and go through this whole thing, that means that Shimon is also deserving it in a certain respect. Memelo, Oyla Rasha L'Shcheino, not to, oh, stop, we punish the other guy. No. Oyla Rasha L'Shcheino, because if this guy's a Rasha, has to go through this, and Shimon's affected, Oy to him also, meaning because he's also deserving it in a certain way. Let's end up with one little, last little interesting Ha'ara, also in the Ben Ish Chai. We learn in this sedra the source of the mikveh, right? The quantity of water necessary for kosher mikveh. It says v'rachatz b'saro b'mayim is kol b'saro. So Chazal learn out from here v'rachatz b'mayim is kol b'saro. That how much water has to be in a mikveh? The amount of water you can put your kol b'saro in it. You can put your whole body in at one time. And Chachamim or Mishar, that what is that? 40 sah. 40 sah is a kosher mikveh. Says Ben Ish Chai, beautiful. He says, you don't have to even come on to the kol at kol b'saro. It's hinted to in the at some words in the pasuk. Why? It says, v'rachatz b'mayim. How do you spell mayim? B'mayim, right? I spell mayim, mem yud mem. So you can break up mem yud mem to be mem yud mem. Meaning, v'rachatz b'saro be what? B'mei mem. Mei is water, mem, 40. B'mei mem, and water, that's 40 sa. So, Zot Hashem, we should all be zoiche to our own tahira, and Zot Hashem, with that, be zoiche to bring our korbanei psachim and zvachim, hashta bagalav, yizman karim, and amar amen.